Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the place where there should be excitement, because we come into the presence of the Lord God. Because in His presence there is a great rejoicing that wells up inside of us. We know that He is able to solve all our problems, and He has the answer to every life's question. And I want to say to you this morning, if there's any question that life is asking you that you don't have answer to, the Lord will answer for you today in Jesus' name. If there's any question in your life that life circumstance is asking of you, and you don't seem to have a clue, the Lord God Himself will answer for you today in Jesus' name. Father, we bless Your name and we give You praise. We rejoice because You are God and You are the Lord of the whole earth. In You we have our being. In You we have our hope. In You we have our future. My Lord and my God, You will prove Yourself to be true in the lives of Your people in Jesus' name. Because Your word is life, Lord, let it come alive in every life today in Jesus' name. Thank You, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You see, one of the main things that separates us from the world is the word of God that we have. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God was telling the children of Israel, He said, "This shall be your wisdom, this shall be your strength, this shall be your," you know, He kept enumerating what the word will mean to them. He said, "It will be your wisdom." It's the distinguishing factor between us and the world. Because there is so much treasure that is embedded in the word of God for us. And you are going to go home blessed today in Jesus' name. This is a message I shared with the people who came to the night vigil. I'm sharing it with you in a different version, and I believe it's going to bless you. As you open your Bible to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1 to 11. By the way, the message is titled Heaven's Needs, Man's Blessings. Heaven's Needs, Man's Blessings. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, "Let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto Him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word I will let down their net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. The Lord will embarrass you with blessings in Jesus' name. You can imagine something you've been looking for. By the time you got it, it meant nothing to you. That was what happened to these people who had been toiling all night and caught nothing. The other question I kept asking myself, you know, each time I read this passage, is that, God, why do you always first of all catch fishermen to be fishers of men? Praise the Lord. And one of the things that God told me is patience. How many of us have ever tried fishing before? How many of us have gone fishing in Australia before? I've done so. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. So if you've gone fishing, what's one of the things that you need to do? You need to be patient. When you throw in the line, you are waiting for a bite. You are waiting for a bite. You are waiting for a bite. Because it has to be well timed, so that by the time the fish is, you know, it's taking a bite, you just pull at the same time. Praise the Lord. So it teaches, you know, he chose people who have learned patience. God will teach us patience in Jesus' name. Anyway, that is not where we're going. We've read this story over and over. We've heard it preached. And there can be so many dimensions, so many aspects to it. And I believe that God wants to speak to us from a very different perspective this time around. And what God wants to talk to us about is the fact that the way he designed his moves is to use man as an intermediary in his quest to restore, to transform, and ultimately bless his people. You will notice that God has always used people as an intermediary in carrying out his will and his purpose. The Bible makes us to understand that particular day, Jesus had multitude of people who wanted to listen to him. So much so that they pressed on him, choking him, and he needed space. And he saw two boats. By the lake of Gennesaret. And he chose to enter into one, which was Simon Peter's. In fact, there was no record that he was pleading with Peter. He just entered into Peter's boat and said, "Please, can you move offshore a bit?" And he did. And from there, Jesus started to minister to people. He started ministering to people. I trust God that God will have blessed the life of many people in that gathering that day. And when God has finished blessing the people, Jesus then said to Peter to go further into the deep, which Peter did. And we know the end result. But what I want to tell us today is that what happened on that day showed how God has always done and continues to do to use people as an intermediary in carrying out his divine purpose and will. Today, God needs someone that he can send to the people in the world. Just like he needed people he would send to others in the Bible times, he's still in need of people that he would send to the world around us. Because his ways of doing things has not really changed, because he's an unchanging God. He is a principled God. It's only men that change, but our God does not change. Can you imagine if God starts to move the goalpost every time? We wouldn't even know what to do. We wouldn't even know what to say. We wouldn't even know how to pray. He said, "For I am God and I change not." He has not changed in his approach to things. He's still looking for people he can send. You know, just like he looked for people he could send at that time. If you open with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 19 to 21, the Bible says, "And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. They shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord, out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon sweet beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, says the Lord." God is still doing the same thing. He's looking for the people he has called unto himself, who will go out there and talk to the people who have not heard of his glory, who have not heard of the fame, who have not heard of the power of the Lord. Recently, somebody was saying that even people who say they don't believe in God, you just go to them and say, if they are going through a certain situation or circumstance, you just go to them and say, "Can I pray with you?" He said most people in his experience have never said no. "Can I pray with you?" And I've seen that a lot. When people are troubled, when people, you know, when people are in difficulties, you go to them and offer them what you've got. "Can I pray with you? Can I support you in this? Can we lift it unto the Lord? Okay, now that you have told me this, I will go home and I will be lifting you up in prayers. Just but make sure that once you say that, you are praying." And one of the things that I do is this. In case I forget, as soon as I leave you, once I tell you I'm going to pray for you, as soon as I leave you, I am praying. Praise the Lord. So that I'm making sure that I'm keeping my words. God said at that time that he, of the remnant, you know, that he was going to pick people who were going to minister to the people of the world, who will bring them back home, bring the people in captivity back to the land. And out of them, he wants to make priests, he wants to make pastors, he wants to make evangelists, he wants to make prophets. In other words, there are people out there in the world that are big time evangelists for the Lord, that are big time pastors for the Lord, but they are still out there. Nobody has spoken to them. This is one of the reasons why we must study to show ourselves approved unto the Lord. Again, it comes down to the word, the word, the word, and the word again. So that we might know our duties. So that we come to an understanding of why God has saved us. And why God has positioned us for this time. I'm sure many of us will find it interesting when I tell you that God has needs. And that heaven is in need of people. Heaven has always been in need of people. He also needs people to take a stand in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Heaven is in need of such people. Heaven is in need of people who don't care to be different. People who don't mind being different from other people, heaven is in need of them. Heaven is not in need of people who will play it like the world and there will be no difference. Heaven is not in need of people who are actually wiser than the children of men. Heaven is in need of people who will use godly wisdom to achieve their purpose. godly wisdom, for you to get promotion is humility. Godly wisdom, for you to get promotion is prayer. Godly wisdom, for you to get your blessing is in giving. That is what the Bible tells us. Yesterday we went to a place, and I've been sharing that testimony with people. We went to a place, some of us may know what I'm talking about, so I bet I'm not going to mention names. We went to a place, and the place we went to was of a family that was actually troubled. This was a family of God that were heavily troubled. And what happened was this. This man of God lost his job. He almost lost his family. He almost lost his marriage. And, you know, in that same church, I mean, basically was stripped of his job as a pastor. And the church decided to work. He didn't go away. A lot of people, when they get corrected in church, they go away and say, "Who are you? What are you?" This pastor did not leave that church. He stayed there. After he stayed, they got to a point that he had to, I mean, because it's a public thing, so I can talk about it. They organized a service. He has to renew his marriage vow because the issue had to do with something like that. And we went there yesterday, and almost everyone in that church was weeping and crying. When the man was asked to, you know, he had his own personal vow, personal oath that he had written, and before the whole congregation of people, this man was reading and said how he has messed up, how he has, you know, how he was wrong, and he knew that he shouldn't. And I just said, thank God. That for spirit of humility. And thank God for the spirit of forgiveness in the wife. Look at that humility. Many people will have gone and said, you know what? It is because the members of the board have been looking for me. It's because they are waiting for my mistake. But even if people are waiting for your mistake, if you don't go and make that mistake, would they? If you don't do it, would they be able to catch you? Particularly if you know people are waiting for your mistake, that's why you have to be very careful. And I tell people, I said the reason I'm careful, you know, because of the kind of messages I preach. It's not because I'm that dumb that I don't take some chances. It is because of the kind of messages I preach, because I know. I was telling my wife, I said, if I was the one who was in that particular kind of situation, I'm sure a lot of people won't forgive me. They say, we know the kind of message he preaches. Don't forgive it. This guy is too, you know. But let me tell you, nobody wouldn't have forgiven that man there. And I'm sure God forgave him there. You just need to see that atmosphere. Why? Because there was a godly principle that he applied. He just humbled himself. It was not an easy thing to come out and say, look, I've blown it. And somebody was saying yesterday evening that this man would have gone home rejoicing because he had no secret to keep anymore. He can walk openly now with his wife. He can go anywhere he wants to go because there's nothing to hide. I'm sure before, I remember one day, I think he was in a meeting during one of those crises, and he called accidentally, I don't know, he just called my number. I don't know this number. He called me about 3 times. And I decided to call back because I was in a meeting, and he said he was the one. And I prayed for him, and you could see that the guy was troubled because he chose to apply godly principle. God is looking for people who will stand. I mean, one of the, apart from the forgiveness and the humility that I saw there, one of the people there, who came out and spoke. He said, look, for the past 4 years, I've been close to this family and I go to their home, you know, as early as 6 a.m. So I know them in and out. He said, it was a difficult decision for me, but I had to sign the paper terminating his appointment because it was the right thing to do. He said, because it was the right thing to do at that time. God is looking for people who will take stand in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. People who don't care to be different. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 29, the Bible says, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they will fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Because when we are taking stand for the Lord, look, let me tell you something, it's going to be well with you and your children. It may look like you are unpopular. It may look like you are unsophisticated. It may look like, you know, you are a bush boy like me. But I'm telling you, God will repay you. You that you are a bush boy, your children will be city people. Praise the Lord. God is also in need of resources. Now, I'm sure you are going to pick me up on this. Because the Bible says, a cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. Amen? The Bible says the earth and its fullness thereof belongs unto the Lord. It's the Lord's. Praise the Lord. So you are going to be asking me, so the Lord also needs resources. Yes, the Lord needs resources. Because in this earth, he has distributed these resources to people. Even though he owns them, he can take it. If he gives resources to someone who will not use it the way he wants to use it, for example, he gives resources to someone and the person chooses to oppress others with it, well, he can tell that person and say, enough is enough. Give me what I've given you. Praise the Lord. That is how we know that he's in charge. But he's given these resources to men. And one of the things you'll be asking yourself is this. Why will he give it to men? Because he wants people who will serve him willingly. That is why everything you give to the Lord willingly. And the Bible said that they gave, when Moses called that the people should give, they gave willingly. Out of a pure heart. God is looking for people who will be willing to give and give out of pure hearts. So God needs resources in the kingdom. He needs your time resources. He needs your material resources. He needs vehicle for the gospel, including your money. He even needs lives that will be poured out as an offering. God is also in need of people with courage and with boldness. Courage and boldness. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, as in many other places, in that place, God told Joshua to be of what? Of good courage. And be not dismayed. Because the task he was sending him to do required courage. To live as a Christian even now requires courage. I've said it before. I said, where Christians are persecuted, the gospel thrives. Am I right? Actually, the gospel thrives. It is the places where Christians are not persecuted that the gospel doesn't thrive. Because what we read this morning in the Sunday school is that one of the things that stops our fruitfulness is what? Is the cares of this world. Oh, how do I take... I haven't washed my car for 2 weeks. I'm going to take it for, you know, to the detailer who will detail it for me. Oh, yes, I've not done this. Oh, yes. Oh, I've not ticked off all my list. By the time you go through the list, all the things you have not done, you won't even have time to pray. Was it last week? I was telling us we were supposed to be going somewhere last weekend. And I said, at the point I get, I told my husband, I said, please, no, let's just go back home. There are things we can do later. Let's go back home. Otherwise, we are not even going to wait. We are not going to pray. We are not going to do anything. And we will run like that from morning till night. And then you expect that God will speak to you. You expect that the Spirit of God will move in your life. No. The spirit of bugger will move. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, except those who would seek His face, except those who would stay in His presence, if we are not going to do that, it's not going to move in our lives. Oh, maybe the coffee we drink will probably propel us. Amen. He wants people with courage. Remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 24, verse 31. We have shared this with us before. And the Bible said that all the elders that served with Joshua after Joshua's death continue in the same vein. Not only that, the people also served the Lord, you know, during the life of those elders. But I found something a bit interesting, and I want to take you to the book of Judges chapter 2 verse 6 to 13, looking at the same story. Judges 2, 6 to 13. I will quickly read. I want the same story that is in Joshua. You know, I want us to see how Judges reported, you know, the impact of the courage of Joshua in the lives of the people while he was there, and what happened subsequently. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. This is Judges chapter 2 from verse 6. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timahereth, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation. Somebody say another generation. After them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. In other words, when there are no courageous leaders, the people will go astray. If there are no people who will choose to lead in the times of persecution, in the times of trial, in the times of trouble, in the times when it is not popular, let me tell you something, the people, the world will go astray around us, and then we will come around and say, look, oh, see what our children are exposed to. See the kind of things that are happening around us. What is our contribution to the world we live in? What is your contribution to make the world different? If you know something that is better than what is obtainable now, what are you doing to make sure that there is a change in the direction you know that is right? Because Joshua had died, all the elders that knew God had died, and there was no one to lead the children of Israel, the people turned back to their old ways. In fact, if you go if you look at the book of Judges, the Bible actually tells us that people did whatever seemed good in their sight. People just did, they live anyhow. What role are we playing? Can we stand? Can we tell people? I'm not saying we go to people and say, you are condemned, you are going to die. You know what I mean? Because I've told us before, our faith is a speaking faith. You cannot say, I just keep it inside of me. Our faith is a confessing faith. Our faith is a speaking faith. You cannot just keep it inside of you and say it's not your business. No, that is not true. Because we know that the word is empowered when we speak it into existence. Nothing will change if you choose to keep quiet. And when we keep quiet, what does it mean? It means I agree. Isn't it? Silence is what? Is consent. If we are going to complain, if we are going to say things are not going well, then what are we doing? So whenever people lack leadership, problem we erupt. If a home lacks leadership, problem we erupt there. If a place of work lacks leadership, problem will erupt there. Even if it's in the church, problem will keep coming. Problem will keep coming. You know, no wonder. You know, the preacher at the place where we went to actually said, he said, look, which is something I've already told you. He said the divorce rate in the people who go to church, in the church, is the same as the divorce rate outside the church. Because in homes, there are no leaders anymore. And where they are leaders, they don't even know their duties. In the church, there are no leaders anymore. Because where there are leaders, it's his job by name, they don't even know their duties. It's the same with community. In fact, it's the same with nations. When you look at the nations that are struggling today, well, I mean, many of us will gather together and we talk about our nations in Africa, and we'll find out that we keep saying, at the end of the day, we say it's leadership, it's leadership, it's leadership, it's leadership, it's leadership. If there are no leaders of courage, things cannot be well. I don't want to talk politics here, but maybe I won't get it recorded, so I'll just say it off the mic. You know of a party here in this place? There was a time. The opinion was that kind of leader. He faced what he had to do. Let's open our Bible to John chapter 10. The book of John chapter 10, verse 11 to 14. He faced what he had to do. We in this work at this time, courage is required to serve God and serve him consistently. I mean, Paul was writing, he said, we have not had to endure unto the death. We have not had to endure with our blood yet, and yet we seem to give up so easily. Courage is required. John 10 11 to 14. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Good shepherd. In other words, he will stay. He endures the hard times. He will not run away. He will not run away. That is why you see, even when things appear to be upside down, whatever it is, I have nowhere else to run to. I'm here. God has not asked me to retire yet, and I'm not retiring. So I still come, irrespective. Even if there are going to be just three people in the church, I will still come. Because I'm just sold out. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry, it does matter, but you know what I mean. I will still serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. God needs people who will show the world how to honor him and show respect unto his words. These are the true worshippers. We were talking about the people who worship God in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. You know, these are the true worshippers. God is looking, is in need of such people even at this time. Our brother this morning was talking about character. And he said, a brother said, oh, rather than carry the Bible, I will let my character do the work. Wonderful. The character must do the work. The character must speak the language. I pray though, and I keep saying, the Bible says, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Praise the Lord. spiritual things that are spiritually discerned. Our character will minister to people in Jesus' name. He said, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, you know, God is looking for people who will honor him, who will honor his word, who will make commitments towards him in everything that they do. Now, God has needs. I've been saying, is it everyone that will get to meet the needs of God or the needs of heaven? No. There are three classes of people who will meet the needs of heaven, whom God has positioned to meet his needs. The other people, if they do, they are only standing there per chance, and they just, because God can use anything, they will just be instrument in his hand. But there are people who God will use to meet his need, and they are the people who are in divine partnership with the Lord. People who are in divine partnership with the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 35. People who are in divine partnership with the Lord, God will use them to meet the needs of people. And of course, to be in divine partnership with the Lord means you will have given your life to Christ. Otherwise, every sacrifice we give will not be acceptable, because the Bible says that God, Psalm 7 verse 11, it says God is daily angry with what? With the wicked. So how can the wicked give a sacrifice and it will be acceptable to the Lord when God is daily angry with him? God will not be angry with you in Jesus' name. Romans 11, 30 to 35. He said, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, that is the unbelief of the Jews, even so have these also now not believed, that is the Jews are not believing now, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God had concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. So in other words, God will position some people for the purpose of him achieving restoration, transformation, and blessing for some people. He said, for that purpose, you know, for their unbelief. What? Look. One of the things is this: God never wastes crisis. God will never waste crisis. Every time something goes wrong, God has a plan. And we, as children of God, we must never waste crisis. I don't know what you are going through right now. If it may look like things are not going very well for you, please look very hard. It's an opportunity to make a change. It's an opportunity to move to a higher level. Rather than being downcast, rather than throwing your hands up and say it is all finished, it is an opportunity to do something definite. I've learned that principle, and it's sinking in, to know that every crisis is an opportunity. You will see clearly in crisis in Jesus' name. As for coming, they will come, but they will not overwhelm you in Jesus' name. The second group of people are people who can spiritually discern. Remember that, there was the serpent hanging on the tree, and everyone that got bitten had the opportunity of looking. To some people, it was ordinary brass. To some others, it was the power of God personified. And they took time to look. As soon as they were bitten, they looked, and what happened? They were healed. What about the people of Nazareth? When Jesus went there, the Bible said he couldn't do much miracles. Why? Why couldn't he do much miracles? Yes, because they did not believe. Okay, they do not accept him. Yes. What else? Yes. Okay, pessimistic. Yes. What else? I guess because they did not see him as the Son of God and the great teacher. A lot of people didn't know him yet at that time though, but they saw the power of God upon his life, and many people would say Rabboni, Rabbi, you know, and they would go to him, you know, in submission. They did not even have an understanding. But the problem with the people of Nazareth was what? They got stuck in the ways of the past, and they still recognized him as the carpenter in the village. Am I right? As far as they were concerned, he was that son of the carpenter who was trained to be a carpenter, and he should have been a carpenter. And that was why when he spoke, they said, this one, this carpenter, he can do nothing good. How can he be? And so he could not. Nothing could be achieved in that land. It takes discerning. And those are the people that God can work with, that they, who will see and know that heaven is in need, and they will respond to it. And the third group of people, they are the people who themselves are in need. Praise the Lord. Interesting. God will use people who are in need to meet needs. Because the comfort, I've told you this before, you can only comfort people with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted. If the only way you have been comforted before is alcohol, you can only recommend alcohol to somebody. But if you have waited on the Holy Spirit, if you have fasted, if you have prayed, what do you think you are going to recommend? You will recommend fasting and prayer to that person. You say, that problem, go and fast and pray, my brother. Because that is what you have done. So that people who are in need themselves, God used them to meet needs. Praise the Lord. And you ask, you know, people who need healing, people who need promotion, people who need provision, people who need, you know, all sort of diverse things. And I think this point is very important that you take it in, that God is using people who are in need themselves to meet needs. Otherwise, you get swallowed up by your own needs, that you don't see needs in other places, and therefore you may not enter into the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I will tell you something. Why is it that God will use people who are in need to meet needs? I want you to take note of this part, the next statement I'm going to make. Because behind every heaven's need is an agenda to bless someone. God does not create a need except he wants to bless someone. Did you hear that? God creates need for the purpose of blessing the sons and the daughters of men. And I will show you. But before I show you many instances where God did that, I will quickly say this. And I mean it, you know, lightly. But please don't misunderstand it. For example, the Bible says a curse without a cause shall not stand. Right? We all like that. Amen? Let's flip it over a bit. Let's look at the flip side of that. Can we then say a blessing without a cause shall not stand? Huh? Can we say that? Praise the Lord. A blessing unprovoked will not stand. Praise the Lord. We may not like that, but in a way, just flip it over and think. And I'll give you a few instances. When God wanted to bless someone, he asked for sacrifice from Cain and Abel. Why did he ask for sacrifice? Because he wanted to bless somebody. He wanted to transfer the blessings of Adam and Eve to someone else. He wanted to propagate his blessing. He then said, look, you two young men, just go and make sacrifice. Abel made a sacrifice that was acceptable, and Cain did not, unfortunately. When God wanted to bless Abraham, what did he do? He had promised him, but the blessing was not confirmed until Abraham did something. God created a need again. What did he do? He said, that your son, Isaac, that you love so much, go and sacrifice him. And as soon as he tried to do it, God said, because you have done this, because you have done this because you have met my need at this time to worship me with your only son. I will bless you. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Genesis 15 verse 2. Because he responded to the need of heaven. Somebody will respond to the need of heaven today in Jesus' name. And when God wanted to bless the children of Isaac, what happened? Huh? Suddenly, Isaac became hungry. Praise the Lord. And the only thing that would satisfy his appetite was venison. Say a rabbit, something like that. That was all that would satisfy his appetite. And suddenly he called his two kids. Maybe he didn't even know what he was doing. He said, please, you, he called Esau. He said, go and get one for me. You are a good hunter. Go and get one, dress it for me. Or somehow, you know, the mom knew and then brought Jacob and then he prepared it. And of course, because blessing goes with meeting needs, irrespective of who is meeting that need, as long as you are in Jesus Christ, the blessing then followed Jacob because he met the need at that time. Praise the Lord. And as soon as the father ate it and his soul was satisfied, he said, I bless you. Praise the Lord. Even though the hand was the hand of Esau and the voice was the voice of Jacob, it didn't matter anymore. He just pronounced his blessings upon him. Because every time God wants to bless someone, he creates a need. And I want to tell you this morning, that is why when God is calling you to serve, when God is positioning you to help, when God is taking you to a place where you can be of use to somebody and somebody is trying to discourage you, that person is driving you away from your blessing. You may think they are doing you a favor, they are actually blocking the channel of your blessing. Nobody will be able to block the channel of your blessing in Jesus' name. What about the widow of Zarephath? A need was created. The last meal. The last meal. Oh. Me and my son. But he said, okay. But he's the servant of God because you said so. And of course, it's the same tradition that God has followed. He's still waiting for people who worship him. In Romans 12 and 2, he said, you know, present your body as a living sacrifice. He still wants people who will sacrifice to him, who will worship him, who will glorify him. Just like, you know, just like he used to do in those days, he's still doing it these days, that he will open opportunity for you to meet a need. And you give to somebody, and Jesus said, the one, this little one that you have helped me because you have done it to me when you helped them. And in closing, just open to Numbers chapter 11. Let me leave this word with you. Numbers 11. Numbers 11. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. And then verse 25. I hope. No, verse 11, 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, listen to this. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me. Verse 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, that is upon Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. What is the lesson there? That after you have made yourself available, the blessing that will rest upon you is transferred by God, not by man. In other words, the pastor, you may be very good at doing it, that people will see and appreciate what you are doing openly. But if it has not been done properly and from a pure heart and genuinely with commitment to God, the blessing may not stay. But if you have done it with the genuineness of your heart and you are misunderstood, because God is the one who transfers blessings, He will transfer blessings on you. It was not Moses who transferred blessings upon them. All that Moses needed to do was to choose those people. He chose them and God transferred blessings upon them. God will transfer blessings upon you in Jesus' name. God creates needs in order to bless people. Nobody will stop you from being blessed in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet? Let's rise on our feet. Thank you, Daddy. Lord, we glorify you. Can you just bless the name of the Lord? And from today, whenever you see needs, wherever you see needs relating to the things of God, this is time to meet those needs. This is the time to make yourself available. This is the time to serve the Lord. This is time to make commitment to the Lord. I want you to speak to the Lord and say, Father, here I am, I surrender. I want to meet needs. I want to be used of you. I want to see opportunities in needs. I want to see opportunities in situations. I want to see opportunities in circumstances. Father, I surrender myself, O God. I want to be used of you inside the church, outside the church, in my home, in the place of work, wherever I go. Father, open my eyes to discern and to see opportunities to serve you, opportunity to witness, opportunity to represent you, opportunity to please you. Father, I don't want to miss any opportunity that will lead to my blessing in Jesus' name. I come against every distraction. I come against every form of distraction, anything that will take my eyes away from Jesus. My Lord and my God, I hold on to you and I pray, oh God, that you will let me see every opportunity, oh God, that will take me to my destiny in Jesus' name. I want you to begin to pray. Pray to the Lord. Ask Him to open your eyes so you can see. Open your eyes so you can see. Because not meeting certain needs like Peter met the need of Jesus. Remember that it was because Peter met the need of Jesus that his destiny changed forever. He met the need of heaven at that instance. He met the need of heaven at that instant. He could have said, get out of my boat. He could have said, did you buy the boat for me? He could have said, are you the one who gave it to me? He could have said, did you teach me to fish? He could have said anything else to him. He saw the opportunity in being part of what God was doing, and it became a blessing to him. You will be, as you serve the Lord, it will become a blessing to you. It will become a blessing to your household. It will become a blessing to your children. It will become a blessing to your body. It will become a blessing to your, to everything you lay your hands upon to do, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, everyone that has heard me today, I pray that their service life would never be the same again in Jesus' name. I pray that their relationship with you will never be the same again in Jesus' name. I pray that their attitude toward the things of the kingdom will never be the same again in Jesus' name. They will be moving higher in Jesus' name. Because one of the ways, oh God, that they will bear more fruit is that you make opportunities abound unto them to bear fruit. Lord, they will see those opportunities. They will take those opportunities, and it shall be counted unto them as a service of great reward in Jesus' name. Thank you, because they and their family shall be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can we share the grace in fellowship?